Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings. Welcome to our advocacy program for the persecuted church on Warn Radio. I'm Tower, and we're glad you joined us tonight. It's Wednesday, the first day of May, 2019. And the readings in the Word this week are found in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 through 20, verses 1 through chapter 20, verse 27, Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 2 through 20, and chapter 22, verses 1 through 19. The New Testament reading is found in Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through chapter 4, verse 44. Also, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Take time to read these biblically-centered articles by the Watchman. Christian Living, Wise to Do Good and Evil. Christian Living, Wise in the World Where Evil Plots and That Which Is Good Seems to Fade Away. We are, as believers, supposed to be wise concerning good and evil. Being wise is a simple biblical way, helps us to move forward in a manner acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The Life of Mercy in a Darkened Age. The lights of mercy are revealed through the Son of God and His redemptive power. Then through those He has redeemed, as they become the lights of hope and message of redemption to all they come in contact with. In the last days of hedonism, evil, terrorism, and peril, the lights of mercy are to be bright, so that those who are to come will come to the Lord for redemption. You can read those articles by the Watchman by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. And also, those websites, you'll be able to listen to Warn Radio and find the apps for Spreaker and Blog Talk, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and Blueberry, and many others. And listen to all the shows from the front page of the Blog Talk, warncatchusa.com blog. And tonight on our advocacy program, we feature gospel news from the persecuted church. Tonight we have Apology Not Accepted, the New York Times. Christian and Jews should be locked up. Elderly woman thwarts attack. Fulani militants attack another Christian village in Nigeria. India, traditional beliefs war against Christianity. Greatest enemy to a Christian faith. Those stories and more as we have time. And now I welcome in the Watchman. But first,
you're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good.
Well, at any rate, we are here on a Wednesday, and we are doing our latest advocacy and Christian news, our gospel news, and we discuss what's going on around the world. And tonight we've got a lot of important stories and other things. But first, I'm going to get into some short news announcements, and then we'll be back. International Christian Concern talked about three American Christians who were detained in Laos, and they were recently freed. And this is one thing that, and they were identified simply as Wayne, Autumn, and Joseph, and of course, the Vision Beyond Borders. And, you know, usually when people get into this, you know, we have volunteers, and many, you know, come out of churches and other things like that as volunteers, and many of them doesn't understand what they face when they go overseas. And, you know, when we talk about a country being closed, that means they're closed. That means the literature that you bring in is illegal. And so they were, thank God, released. But we've seen this happen in North Korea with Christians and even pastors. We've seen this happen in China. And matter of fact, there's one guy that ministered over there for a long time, and he's still in prison, been in prison. I don't think he's ever come up before any court or anything else, which can be one of those things that does happen in China. China years ago was known as a closed country, and then it opened up some, and now it's closing back down. Matter of fact, there's a push, even in Russia, for them to get back to the things of Stalin. There was recently a big poll over there, and more than 60-some percent wanted to return to Stalin's way of governing, which is strict, you know, absolute socialism, Russian communism, their brand. And so, you know, it's important that when you go over there, you understand these things, because you don't realize that when you go into some of these countries, there are things you cannot do. So be sure that you know what you're getting into before you go there. And, you know, many of them, at least in the old days, would not let anybody in there, especially Christians, if they were classified as a pastor, preacher, evangelist. But over the years, things have gotten open, more open. But now, you know, we've seen a closure and more Christian persecution. So they were detained for distributing religious materials, of course, they said, without government approval. And I'm not sure what all it took to get them released, but we are glad that they're back, and we would like to see others that are held like that. So at any rate, if we, I want to touch a little bit on China now too, because we've been covering a lot of stories out of China, and it is always been trouble when we talk about China and Christianity. But the Economist and Operation World, placed the population of Christians at over 100 million. In 2010, the number was estimated between 30 and 67 million. Now, that's a lot of Christians. Now, The Economist was over 100 million is what they said the Christians were. In 2010, it was just 30 to 67 million. So you have another 33 million plus Christians that are there. And during Mao's reign, and he died in 76, there were only known to be 8 million Christians. Many people didn't even know if there was even any in there. But, you know, it's just one of those things right now, because of China returning to persecution of Christians, tearing down churches. Wang Yi and a bunch of others, churches, big churches, small churches, and Christians have all been imprisoned, and they've been shutting down churches right and left. China remains a major source of persecution that there is. And, of course, the Chinese government, for them, they encourage atheism. They do have regular humanist teachings and things like that. but they do not want religious activities. And China is really one of those countries that, if you're talking about religious freedom, they're at the top of the list that we are concerned about. And so in the quick news today, Christians returned home from Laos because, well, they let them go, but they were facing these particular things going on. Distributing materials they weren't supposed to. They arrested them, then they got released. And China, Christianity continues to grow despite persecution, which has always been the case, which is really unusual. And Tao, are you back now?
Yes.
So at any rate, I find that interesting that Christianity grows in China despite persecution.
Oh, I know. That's amazing. That's how the Lord works.
Now, another quick thing that I don't know if you saw. Did you see that cartoon out of the New York Times the other day?
I did.
And it showed... It looked like a dachshund with Netanyahu as the head leading a Trump who was blind wearing a Jewish skull cap.
The dog's chain had a Jewish, like a dog tag with a Jewish star on, the Star of David.
And they also had references to Hitler in it. This was absolutely unacceptable, and coming out of the New York
Very
Times.
Appalling.
Yeah, and we're seeing more and more anti-Semitism, and in America it has no place. And of course, Brett Stevens is actually a Times columnist who issued a strong rebuke for publishing this thing. And he says the Times wasn't explaining anti-Semitism, it was purveying it, Stevens wrote. It did so in the form of a cartoon. And, of course, the enemies of Israel and of America had a hearty laugh off this one. But this is absolutely not acceptable at all. And if you want to read about it, you can go on over to CBN. They're one of the ones that have covered that. And then, of course, there's another thing, and I've never heard of this guy, Tim Wise. Have you heard of him? I may have reported on him in times past.
The name sounds familiar.
But he's known for his hatred of Christians, pushing the racial divide. You know, I don't know. He's one of those that in the past he categorized Christians as Jesoids, fascists, and called Pope Francis evil. That's according to the College Fix, must be a college newspaper. He tweeted that people believe in a god of hell and damnation deserve to be mocked viciously and run out of the public square. It wouldn't surprise me if his own parents had a history of Christianity, the way he's acting. But
could very
see,
well
this,
be.
This shows you how ignorant he is. He's not a god of hell and damnation. He doesn't apparently know the truth at all, or he wouldn't have said such a foolish thing. And the scripture does say, those that love death hate the Lord. So, Tim Wise, you want death, just continue to hate the Lord, but you need to repent because your ignorance is shown by the things that you tweet out. And, of course, scripture tells us not to answer a fool according to his folly, and according to what I have read, what you've said, you are a fool. That's too bad. And the bottom line of it is that anybody that thinks the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is a God of just judgment and hell and damnation are fools, period.
Exactly.
Foolish in what they believe. All you have to do is read what he said to Moses when he passed by him. And it was full of mercy and love. He has saved generations, thousands of generations. He has offered mercy to. It's absolutely disrespectful, godless, and I reject this as well. There's all kinds of these things, Tower, that because of our social feeds and our internet, that people just say the dumbest, foolish things, and they get away with it. And then you get people like those that have been elected as Democrats in our Congress, people who hate America, that hate everything we stand for, and they're allowed to sit on committees and issue forth their vile spewing. And we've got a number of them up there today that don't know when to shut up, don't know when to keep their mouth closed. And, you know, when you and I were raised, there was a respect. There was that thing where you wanted to be civil. That's all gone today.
Yeah, nobody's like that anymore. Sad. And them getting up there and getting that power is wrong. They're too young. They're too inexperienced. They shouldn't be allowed to be on those committees that are making decisions for the Jewish people or the Christians or the other important decisions, financial situations.
Yeah. Well, we do have another story out there. Are you ready with this one?
Yes, about this elderly woman who thwarts the attack on her church.
Yes,
yeah,
go
this
ahead.
Is very interesting. It comes to us from Bibles for the Mideast, and it's about Al-Qahadir. His name's been changed. And he was born in a Muslim family in the Middle East, and of course he grew up very strong in his faith in Islam and the law of Sharia. And while he was at the university, somebody slipped him a gospel, and he began reading it. And when he got to the part about Jesus is the only Savior and the Son of the Most High God, he erupted in anger, ripping the pamphlet up and throwing it in the fire. And soon after graduation, he joined a terrorist group. And then just a few months ago, he and his extremist friends planned an attack on an Assembly of the Living God church. And as they entered the church armed with pistols, an elderly woman somehow grabbed, you know, managed to grab hold of his legs. "My son," she cried out, "go back and save yourself. I was a strong Muslim once with a husband and three sons. My sons joined up with terrorists like you and were killed in Syria. When my husband heard the news, he had a heart attack and died. Now I have no husband and no children. Yours is not the way of peace and reality. Lord Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He saved me from sin and death. I live with this hope. Only Jesus can give us peace, salvation, and eternal heaven. Son, get back, please." And infuriated, the other terrorists began kicking her, and she fell down in pain but kept repeating her admonition to them. And Al-Qahadir suddenly thought of his own mother. He pushed his friends away and helped the woman to her feet. The men turned and left the church without doing any more. And at home, when he was at home that night, he had a dream, and it was from the Lord Jesus Christ. Like all Muslims knew to be a great prophet, but nothing more. And he spoke to him in Arabic, and he said, "I am the Messiah. Do you know what that means? I am the one sent out from the Most High to bring humanity who lost the kingdom of heaven through sin and iniquities back to God. All have sinned and lost eternal life. To bring everyone back, I, the Word of God, came down from heaven and was born of a virgin. I lived a sinless life, suffered, was crucified on the cross of Calvary, died and was buried as punishment for the sins of humanity, including yours. And I rose from the dead and now sit at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. Only those who confess before me and believe in me will have salvation and eternal life in heaven as God's gift. For I am the Son of the Most High God. I will come again in clouds to separate and bring my own people to heaven, while others will end up in hell. Believe in me and follow me." And he knew this was no ordinary dream. And the next day he approached the pastor of the ALG church that he had intended to attack. And he poured it out before the pastor what he had experienced. And the pastor shared the gospel with him, with his own testimony of conversion from Islam. And Al-Qadir readily accepted Jesus as his personal Savior and Lord, and not many days later was baptized. And when he shared his experiences with his terrorist friend, the man would have none of it. And unfortunately, this man, along with two others of Al-Qadir's former terrorist friends, were among 37 people executed for terrorist-related crimes last week. With the pastor in agreement, Al-Qadir decided to leave the country for his own safety, launch now into a wholly new, holy life. He truly considers himself newly born. Where he'd had no compunctions about his terrorist life before, he now feels remorse for the fear he instilled in others. While he fought for God before, he knows now he is on the right and only path to and with him. He says he now feels joy and experiences great peace under the wings of the Lord Jesus. And he added that the Lord saved him from a terrible life. And as the book of Job says, "I alone escaped from them to be the witness." And he says of our Lord, of our mighty Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's a beautiful story. We hear these Muslims come to the Lord all the time, and it's exciting. Thank God that our Lord is the giver of life.
That's right. That's one of the better stories. You know, we get a lot of them like that, like Tower said. But when you think of him appearing and speaking in Arabic, and he spoke the word Messiah in Arabic, and he spoke the word of God, the phrase word of God in Arabic, to emphasize to him who he was. And it's just absolutely amazing how he did that. And so in the name Al-Qadir, this is like a lot of the things we do when we cover some of these stories. These are real people. They have real lives. And the thing that you have to do is keep them hidden. You do not want their names, real names, and IDs getting out there. And so because he did live a life, and fought and was a terrorist, they could easily send his picture around.
That's right.
And so at any rate, it's an amazing story.
And it's really sad. It's heartbreaking that his former friends, or, you know, his friend and his former terrorist friends wouldn't accept the Lord, and they were executed for their crimes.
Well, you know, that's what happens. I mean,
yeah, I know.
You know, whatever you reap, you're going to sow, you know.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say where they were at, too. So it's hard to say. Well, you know, another place we're always constantly talking about it is Nigeria. And, of course, in the Adamawa state in Nigeria, they struck about 10:30 at night. Four people were killed, another six were injured. But we see this all the time. They always attack villages that are easy targets. They attack when you least expect them. And, of course, under the cover of darkness. A local resident said that an older man went to his backyard and saw the attackers coming. The old man then went back and alerted the villagers of the danger. And of course, with the attackers coming quickly, there's not much room to do anything. Some of the villagers were able to flee. and some of the brave men tried to resist and repel the attackers. But many of these, especially in Nigeria, they're well-equipped. They have money. Matter of fact, it has been said that a lot of them have better equipment and materials to fight with than the Nigerian army does. So they managed to burn down more than 100 houses as well as food storage barns. And an 89-year-old man and his wife were killed when it was burnt to the ground. And, you know, I mean, this is the target. 89-year-old, can't move too quick. Yeah. And so this is the way the enemy fights. One of the young men in the village who tried to repel the armed attackers said that there were definitely Fulani militia. Now, Fulani are the herdsmen who predominantly need land to graze their herds on. Now, there's been some political talk about this that I've read from the area, that in fact there's a lot of political thing because of the fact that a lot of the land has been sown up and they didn't have a place to feed their herds, so consequently they're running Christians off their farmlands and taking over. And so this is why this is so bad. And the government, of course, doesn't seem to find a solution. And of course, this years and years ago, it was Jonathan Goodluck Johnson who was the one in charge of Nigeria. He lost the election to Buhari, and Buhari now has been elected to a second term. And although Buhari has said he'd do something, nothing's been done. And so now they've got both Boko Haram and the Fulani both, and there's supposed to be another one around as well, who has been causing trouble with Christians, especially killing them. And so, you know, the bottom line of it is that as we look and cover this, you know, you can safely say this, that there's no safe place over there. Not many.
That's right. No.
And this is, to me, this is sickening when you have people that are that wicked, that the only thing they can do is attack defenseless villagers who do not have the ability to really, you know, fight because they're farmers, you know. And they kill and burn and rob and rape and maim, all in the name of their God. And this is where, you know, the devil wants them, is in this thing. The devil does not want them finding out who the true Messiah is. And that's why these miracles that we're telling you about are so important, because many of these people who get saved like this go on to win hundreds and thousands of other Muslims to the Lord. And we know for a fact, because of who we've been dealing with for quite a while now, that there's a whole entire ministry based on former Muslims who are preaching the gospel to Muslims and winning them. And, you know, we need former Muslims who have accepted the Lord to win Muslims. We need the Hindus who are former Hindus and have come to the Lord to win former Hindus. We need people to do this. And because this is not a white man's religion or a black man's religion, this is a religion for all men and all women who Christ died for. And that's what we have to understand. In America, we have politicized race to the point that it's absolutely ridiculous. We have people in this country that are absolute morons when it comes to the truth of anything. Yet they sit in power. And America itself, and I can tell you, it's not going to sit over here and just be alone and be like, well, we're nice and cozy and safe. No, your safety is going to be removed. America needs to wake up. And many Americans are so busy with their lives and other things, they don't give it a thought, do they, Tower?
No, they don't.
At least they don't seem to give it a thought, you know, anywhere. Now, Morningstar News is another ministry that is actually a newspaper. And, you know, they had an article about India, and we've covered India a lot. And, you know, while you can find Christians and Muslims and Sikhs and Hindus there, it's predominantly Hindu. There's also animistic religions, which is even more paganist, even more idolatry. You know, there's many gods, and they're really aware of the spirits. And some of a particular group actually became Christians. And there is a Christian mother, 28 years old, believed that this 60-year-old or maybe it was the other way around, a 60-year-old attacked a 28-year-old Christian mother, yeah, because he had thought that his daughter had been forcefully converted. And this isn't the first time. Matter of fact, there's a lot of them, both in a lot of areas, not just Hindus, not just Muslims, but when the Lord moves and saves people, there's a light that comes on. And many times the people who they used to run with will reject them when they become Christians. They don't understand it. They're afraid of it. In many countries, including even in Israel today, there's many Jews that won't touch a Bible because they're afraid. In like manner, many of them won't touch a Bible or want to talk to a Christian or anything because they see that there is some power there that takes people away from their religion and it scares them. So they live their life in fear and they end up persecuting Christians because they do not understand what's going on. And this is where a lot of these native, these people that are used to be Christian, I mean, used to be Muslim or used to be Hindu, and they come to the Lord, they can explain to them what has happened. And this young woman was outside her home doing a chore. And this particular old guy threw her, actually pushed her against her breast to push her to the floor, and he kicked her in the stomach, and someone who was with him brought a wooden stick, and they beat this woman black and blue. And so she was covered in bruises all over her body, stomach and breasts. And they had to provide first aid and wait in order to get her to the police station. But the police refused to receive the complaint. And, of course, this is common. This is common in a lot of areas today. And we see it time and time again, both in Pakistan with the Muslims authorities and also in India with the Hindu authorities. And, of course, they continued to put pressure on the officers. And they reminded that this guy that did this had also attacked Christians on another day. And, you know, this is where I don't understand, because this guy had attacked 9 people and struck their heads to the wall one after the other. You know, some of these guys just don't offer any resistance at all. I mean, if I was in there, I would have taken something, hit him over the head, and kicked him out of the house. But see, when you are, and that's because I'm an American Christian, I will defend my family. Even Abraham defended his family, for crying out loud. He went after his nephew Lot and rescued him. But the thing of it is that, you know, biblically, we do have a right to defend ourselves, but these people don't. Many times they won't defend themselves, and they will get the living hell, literally, beat out of them because they are victims, and these Muslims know that they can beat the hell out of them and get away with it. And these are the things that need to stop. Do you know what stopped the Muslim aggression during the Crusades? It was that feared word that most of the West don't even want to say, and that's crusaders. There were people that were willing to fight and die to protect the faith, which is called Christianity. And if they had not stopped them, well, you do. I mean, if it wasn't for people willing to stand up and fight evil, evil would take over. And you're seeing this kind of junk throughout the world, because many of these Christians have been taught simply, you know, and the Lord does say to turn the other cheek. But the Lord also took a little whip and ran people out of the temple. He beat them. He took a whip and beat them. You know, and so when he was taken, he says, go buy a sword. I mean, the bottom line of it is that when we look at this, there's a difference. If you were walking on the street and you seen a woman right in front of you getting raped, are you going to just walk by and say, well, I'm not supposed to intervene because the Lord told me to turn the other cheek? No, you got to use what God gave you. You got a head. Think. Yeah, you're going to intervene. You're going to call the police. You're going to get them off there. You're going to do something. You surely wouldn't just stand there. And if you were in their home and they came into the home and you stood there and they were raping or doing something to your family, are you just going to sit there like an idiot and let them do it? Well, I would think not. But see, the teachings tell them not to do it, so many of them don't, and I respect that. But see, from the other standpoint, from the West, you need to protect your family. Because thieves and crooks and terrorists only know one thing, power. You have to defeat them. If they won't stop, you got to kill them. Period. Now that don't sound good, but ISIS would have never stopped if someone didn't fight them, and they were raping and pillaging. And you're going to tell me that the Lord said to turn your other cheek? No, that's not even theologically correct. But see, for these people, that's what they've been taught. So they don't know. And many of them, and this is something you need to understand too, in socialist societies and in other societies, they have already disarmed the people. So there is no way to defend yourself. In addition to that, if they were to defend themselves, he would go out and grab a bigger crowd and come back and make it worse. So many of them think it's better to have four people get the hell beat out of them than have them go get 300 Hindus and burn down and kill every last Christian around. So this is what they face. This is really the odds and the problems that we see overseas. And that's why it's going to be difficult in America, even for the Muslims who are terrorists and want to come into America. Americans are used to defending themselves. You come here as a Muslim and you want to cause problems, or even a Hindu, and you go in to kill someone, you're going to get shot. Period. Now, that's the way it is. And people may be plotting the downfall of America, but the problem of it is they may go down, but they're going to take a lot of whoever tries to take them down with them. That'll be guaranteed. So this is the problem you have in the world. We need peace in the world. We need a Messiah in the world, and we need to stop this nonsense. So So if the people aren't going to defend themselves, then we need to hold governments accountable to protect all the people.
Yes, amen.
That's what they need to do. So that's the irritating point, you know, Tower.
It is. It's frustrating to see this go on and them not trying to do something to defend themselves. And it's frustrating that these terrorists get away with it. That's even more frustrating.
Yeah, like we're talking about the Fulani who have killed hundreds and hundreds of the Christian farmers there in Nigeria. And Buhari still don't do nothing.
No. They're reported to the police, and the police take hours to show up. By then, the terrorists are gone, and you can't find them.
Well, the problem is in Nigeria, Buhari. He's from the same tribe. He's a Fulani himself. And they said that during the election, when he was being reelected, the Fulani didn't cause any trouble at all in order for him to get in. And, of course, now that he's elected, they feel free to do it because they know he's not going to do nothing. This is the way
it
seems.
It was a no-win situation for the Christians because both of them were Muslim that were running.
So at any rate, we do have another story. It is a two-parter, but we won't do part two this week. We'll do that next week. Are you ready to do that one, or you want to do it next week?
Do we have enough time?
Yeah, you've got enough time. Just do part one, because it is a long story, but it is a great story. Go ahead.
This comes to us from, wait a minute, I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong part. Comes to us from International Christian Concern. And earlier this year, a man named Charles met a childhood friend in Mombasa, Kenya, and they made their way to a cyber cafe to check emails. And suddenly he was blindfolded and whisked away in a car by a group of men chanting, Allah Akbar. And I don't even like to say that, so Lord, forgive me. And when International Christian Concern met Charles, they wanted to hear about his recent experiences with persecution, but he was scared and shaking, and he had so much more to tell after leaving the Islamic faith in 2014. I don't think it's a faith. I call it ideology. Nothing about faith. He suffered time and again for his faith in Jesus Christ. And this is his story. This has been my journey. I've been beaten more than just once or twice, poisoned, kidnapped, drugged. The saddest part of my story is that all of this has happened under the watch of a person I have known as my father for many years. His name is Bilhar, and he's a wealthy Arab and a staunch Muslim man. And Charles's biological parents and his two brothers died when he was very young. And Ilhar had adopted Charles and subjected him to rigorous Islamic training. And at 15 years old, Charles had already memorized the entire Quran, and he eventually traveled to Iran to study Islam at a higher level. When he returned home, his life would quickly change forever. He said, I was loaded with enormous knowledge of the Islamic faith, but then there was this missionary who loved to come to witness to our gatekeeper every day at 3 p.m. He was very consistent and stubborn, and our efforts to stop him from interfering with the gatekeeper at work was futile. I decided to make him my first target and try to convert him to Islam. My father was very impressed by my courage. And when Charles approached Pastor Robbie, the American missionary, he appeared to show some interest in understanding Islam. They began having conversations, and then a relationship began to build. And one evening, Pastor Robbie requested a copy of the Quran, and I gave it to him. In exchange, he he brought me a Bible the following day, and secretly I began comparing the gospel with the teachings of Islam, and John 14:6 struck me, and I started doubting if Muhammad was a true prophet, and where did he go? Nowhere in the Quran does he show us the way to paradise, recalled Charles. And he said, I've been beaten more than once or twice, poisoned, kidnapped, and drugged. And the saddest part of the story is all that had happened under the watch of a person I had known as my father for many years. And Charles converted to Christianity a few days later, and his zeal for the gospel and fellowship with other believers grew tremendously. This marked the turning point of his life, as well as his relationship with his family. And he explained, the gatekeeper told my father that I began reading the Bible. And when questioned, although bold inside, I was fearful and denied that I had a Bible in my room. Nothing happened that time. My faith in Jesus was growing stronger, and I was having incomparable joy within. I started going to church. The missionary invited me to the African Inland Church, where for the first time I heard the gospel preached in power. And that's when the physical assaults began, once Charles' father discovered he'd stopped going to the mosque for prayers. One Sunday morning, my father followed behind me and saw me enter the church. That evening, he called two imams and my uncles. All of them descended on me with blows, slaps, whips, calling me a kafir, an infidel. They led exorcism prayers to cast out the demons that had possessed me. They forced me to repeat the Shahada several times. They continued to beat me mercilessly. My furious father hit me in the head and I fainted. And when I woke up, I found myself locked in a dark room with a lot of pain. Back in my mind, I knew I was still a Christian. And if I died, I would go to heaven. After 2 days, I was released. And life was never the same again. I was not allowed to leave the compound on Sundays. And this was just the beginning of a long road of persecution for Charles. The path ahead involved plots about his life and continual pressure to leave his newfound faith. All of this at the hands of his own family. That is part one.
Well, I like that.
I do too.
I like the testimony. And see, that's life and death.
Testimony. It is.
You know, it does say in the scripture, if you love mother or father or brother more than me, then you're not worthy of me. The scripture says that, your enemies will be those of your own household. And there's nothing that illustrates that more than what we cover in the Middle East and even in China. A lot of places, the family turns against them. And they take off on a road of discipleship, not knowing where it's going to lead. They've lost everything. They leave. And like this one we talked about earlier that left, they have no choice. There's nothing. They can't take anything with them. They leave. And they go.
Yeah.
And they don't know where they're going. They don't know where they're going to wind up. They have no money. And, they do make it. And they end up winning many, many for the Lord. And this is a Christianity that the West is really hard to understand.
It is.
You know, at one time the West understood it when they were being persecuted and came to America looking for a place to live. But we've become rich and in need of nothing. We've become comfortable. We've allowed ourselves to fall away from the Lord God. We have enemies that have entered in who want to change this country. And that's who you have in Congress right now. You have people who are enemies. They are intent on destroying America. And, for the most part, many people are too busy, too blind, and too ignorant to know what's happening.
Yeah, sad.
Yeah. And, you know, even Pelosi and Schumer and the other Democrats get carried away with this leftist destroy America outrage. And then you have people like Bernie Sanders who will push socialism to the point of absolute idiocy, and he's not going to stop. You have Biden who's trying to take back the wing of the leftists back center stage, but he looks like a pale ghost of a man that's ready to die at any time. He don't have it in him to do much of anything. So there's not much will left to do that.
No.
That is until they met up with a certain amount of people who were willing to stand up and say, enough's enough. We want America back. And that's how Trump got elected. And that's why they hate him. But this is not about Trump. And I'm not a Republican and I'm not a Democrat. But I'm trying to tell you here that the problems we see overseas are very, very real. And Tower and I, one of the purposes in doing this, and that is to get the message out and to convince you to make supporting a ministry that helps the brothers and sisters in Christ directly overseas become part of your duty to help them financially and prayerfully. Isn't that true?
That's true. We must do what we can for our brethren while there's time, while there's light.
So at any rate, we've got about 7 minutes left. And, you know, there was actually a British scholar and a Muslim. His name is Raqib Ihsan. And he wrote for Gatestone Institute an article asking, where is the solidarity for Sri Lanka's Christians? And what brought this up was the Christchurch thing and the differences. After Christchurch, there was no hesitation, he says, about stating the religious backgrounds of the victims and directing emotion and affection towards Muslim communities. Politicians took no issue with categorizing events in Christchurch as terrorism. In contrast,
yeah,
the words terrorism and Christianity, along with their associated terms, have so far failed to feature in much of the reaction to the attacks in Sri Lanka. What is evident is not only a clear reluctance to specify the religious background of Christians who were killed in Sri Lanka, but also an absence of heartfelt solidarity with the Christian communities around the world, which continue to suffer grave forms of persecution on the grounds of their faith. Now, see, this is a Muslim scholar asking in an article that's read pretty much worldwide, that is throughout Europe and America, that where is the West? Where are all of those nations where Christianity began and was a foundation? Why are they not outraged over all the Christians suffering and being killed for their faith worldwide? Why is the West so quiet? That's what he wants to know.
Yeah. That's a good question. I want to know, too.
And see, this is one of those things that needs to be asked. And it's asked by a Muslim scholar and someone who does not want to see it. Now, Gatestone Institute has a number of Muslim writers. And believe me, not all Muslims want to have a caliphate. And they don't like seeing Christians getting slaughtered or anybody else. You know, and so this is the problem we face in America, in Europe, and in the world today that needs to be addressed, but nobody has the guts to address it. It's just like when we talk about the border and the problems down there. The problem with immigration is the fault of many administrations. It ain't the fault of Trump. He's just happened to get elected, and someone is actually trying to derail him because these people aren't getting there on their own. They have money behind them, an organization getting them up to the border. And I can tell you there's billions of dollars behind it. There's some individuals that are doing it through others. This is a war to infiltrate America and destroy America. And see, this is the problem you have in the world. If America's destroyed, they're not going to be able to have ministries that help other people. Period. Do you think if America falls down or becomes a socialist, we're going to be able to have solid ministries like we do today, like CBN and like, you know, Franklin Graham and the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and so many, many others, many of which that we have talked about and told you about here. Do you think they're going to be able to help anybody if we have nobody here left to help them with? See, that's the problem you have. And there are powers today to make that happen, to silence America, to get rid of what's happening here and make this the globalist socialist capital of the world. They are dead set on doing that. Now, where does that leave the Christians around the world if there's no voice to help them? It doesn't leave them with any help. It don't even leave them with any help in the West to see if we can find them help. You know, and I think it was Ronald Reagan who said that America is the last best place of refuge for people to go and find freedom. He says, once America falls, there is not another America to go to.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm fine.
I just like that this British author, Melanie Phillips, in the Times Online has called this persecution of Christians our guilty secret. Religious liberty, the core value of Western civilization, is being destroyed across large parts of the world. Yet the West, myopically denying this religious war, is averting its gaze from the destruction of its foundational creed in the Middle East and the attempt to eradicate it elsewhere. It is therefore no surprise that face the jihadist barbarities abroad and cultural inroads at home, the free world is proving so ineffectual. Very true.
It is. And I don't know. We have to do something, and that's why we do this broadcast. So at any rate, we're going to have to get out here. Don't forget to go by our websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, and you can check out all of our all of those who are helping us across the Warren Radio Network. Okay, Tower, you got any final words?
Please join us tomorrow night for Battle Lines. Thursday Battle Lines, and we thank you for joining us tonight. Pray for your brethren. We pray for you. We love you, and we thank you for all you do for the King, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
Everybody, we thank you. Shalom, good night, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warren Radio.